Who doesn't want relief? Who doesn't want ease, refreshment, and blessed quiet for your soul? For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. See, Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And he doesn't say, and I will snap my fingers and your situation will just magically disappear. No, he doesn't say that. He says, come to me, all you who labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How will I give you that rest? I will give you rest when you learn of me, when you allow me to transform your thinking, when you level up and see things the way I see them, then you'll have rest, because it won't be something that will have you now disquieted and depressed, because you'll see you have the victory over it. And when you change, your situation changes. See, Martha took the right step. She went to him, but she had the wrong focus. She went to Jesus wanting to instruct him instead of allowing him to instruct her. Have we ever done that before? Lord, I don't really know if you know, but this is due on this date. I don't know if you're thinking about that right now, Jesus, but it's due on this date, and I don't have the money. So I'm just kind of letting you know you need to hurry up and make sure that this takes place in the timing that I'm coming to you with. And Jesus is like, no, you need to change the way you're thinking and see the way I see it. Praise God. God's rest comes from a transformed mind. Hallelujah. Second identity point is this. You can't work to be who you are. You can't work to be who you already are. Martha is so full of care because she's trying to impress people. She's trying to let people see that, you know what I'm doing. I can take care of people. I want to have a good report about me. She's trying to, you know, now find her validation in the fact that she's doing things well and that she's preparing things the way she should and that she's there when she needs to be there and she's bowing when she needs to bow, kissing when she needs to kiss, pouring the water when she needs to pour. And Jesus is saying, I already made you great. You don't have to work to be great. Sit down. Sit down and receive who I made you to be instead of trying to work it out. You think that promotion is going to make you feel better about yourself. You think that marriage, that if that you finally get married, that it's going to make you feel better about yourself. You think if you finally start your business, then I'll feel better about myself. If I finally get the house I want, I'll find. And Jesus said, you're working for something that already belongs to you. Third identity point is this. We are God's workmanship, not each other's. Isn't it interesting? And I know I have been there before, so trust me. I am not throwing stones. Where we think that God is our personal genie to make somebody formed in the likeness that we want them fashioned in. Make this person nicer. Make this person say what I want them to say. Make this person, you know, that this coworker on my job, she just, you know, she doesn't know how to, you know, operate right. Lord, I need you to work on them. And God is like, it's my business what I'm doing with that person. That's my workmanship. Let's stop going to God and asking him to change people, and let's just yield to him for him to change us. I'm the one that needs to be changed right here, Lord God. I'm the one that needs the work. I'm the one that needs to be transformed, Lord God. Isn't it interesting when we talk to him about other people, he talks to us about us. Amen. So now our last identity point we're going to look at comes from another time we see the sisters. And this time when we see the sisters, they have the exact same response to Jesus. So in John chapter 11, we see the story of their brother Lazarus and the fact that he had died. So he was sick, and the sisters, Mary and Martha, sent a note to Jesus to let him know, our brother is sick, please come. So Jesus eventually comes. He didn't come right away. He eventually comes. And in John chapter 11, he begins to come to the town where they were, and he's getting close to their house. And when he, as he's getting close, someone tells him, guess what, Jesus? Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. They asked you to come when he was sick. Guess what? Now he's dead. And he's been dead for 4 days. Okay? So they're in the house mourning. And Martha finds out that Jesus was coming, so she goes to meet him. So let's go to John 11:20. John 11:20, verses 20 through 29, it says, when Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha says to Jesus, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But you weren't. And then in verse 22, she says, but even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. So she tries to, like, say, you know, I need to say something here. I need to say something, like, faithy here. So I'm going to say something faithy. Okay, Lord, if you, whatever you ask, I know that God will give you, but you should have been here when he was sick. Verse 23, Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. We know that she really didn't fully believe what she says because of her response here. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. Well, that's not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. And then he says, do you believe this, Martha? She says, yes, Lord. I have always believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. But that's not what he asked her. Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, the teacher is here and wants to see you. So Mary immediately went to him. So from this we can see that Martha has no expectation of anything. She's just going as custom to go meet the teacher because the teacher's coming. She doesn't expect anything different to happen. What has happened, and there's no changing it. It's too late. You are too late, God. Have you ever felt like God was too late? Have you ever felt like I prayed and it didn't seem like anything happened, and now this is the result I got to deal with? John 11:32, we see the exact same response from her sister. Verses 32 to 38, it says, when Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord. She's even a little bit more emotional with it. She doesn't just go up to him. She falls down at his feet. She says, Lord, with emotion. If you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But you're too late. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him. And he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked them. They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. So there's all kinds of theories about why he wept. He was angry. He was upset because there was unbelief. He was looking at the grief that was there and was angered by the grief that people experienced in death. I mean, it could have been all of these things combined. So he says, the people, in verse 36 says, the people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him. But some said, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? So Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. And he's troubled. all around him is nothing but unbelief. These are people, Mary and Martha are people who love him. Mary and Martha are people who have a relationship with him. They commune with him. They spend time with him. He comes to her house. They know Jesus like we know Jesus. Like we have spent time with God. Like we spent time in prayer. Like we spent time with in the presence of God. And there's no expectation. No belief. All there is doubt. They are grieving over death in the presence of life. And so we end up being in that same situation where we feel like God is too late. And sometimes we get angry with God. Because we're dealing with a situation we felt like he could have corrected a long time ago. Lord, if I were you, I would have been here 10 years ago and made sure that knucklehead husband did what he was supposed to do. So 10 years from now, we could have been in the house we were supposed to be in right now. And Jesus isn't moved by time. So in John 1, 39 through 44, he says this, roll the stone aside. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see the glory if you believe? You would see God's glory if you believe. This is what I was talking about. This is all a setup so that you would change the way you think about me. So that you would see situations the way I see them and recognize it's never too late. So that you would level up your thinking and think the way I think about your life. So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, I thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. And Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. So the next identity point is this, the last one. God transcends time and makes us bigger than our past. He makes us bigger than what happened 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 5 minutes ago. See, life is full of unchangeable moments. Some good, some traumatic, some we wish we could forget. The beauty of a life in Christ is that those moments come in contact when you're in Christ. They come in contact with a force more powerful than they are. We can't change the past, but we can step into God's future for us. We can't change the fact that we may have been abused. We can't change the fact that we may have had a divorce. We can't change the fact that we may have filed for bankruptcy. We can't change the fact that we may have had a loved one that passed away. We can't change the fact that mom was never there or dad may have never been there. We can't change the fact that we made this mistake or this failure happened or this unfortunate circumstance that was beyond our control took place. But what we can do is when we come in contact with Christ, we come in contact with someone who is bigger, who is greater, who has more powerful than anything that may have happened in our past. And he always is on our side, working on our behalf to make sure our future looks the way that he wants it to look. But in order to step into that, we got to level up our thinking and always have expectation for greater. Always have expectation for bigger. As big as I can think, God can do bigger. If I bring my thinking up here, God can go even up here. If I bring it here, he can go even up here. As big as I think, God can think bigger. So I'm always attempting to increase my thinking. I'm always attempting to yield to something bigger, to see it the way God sees it. I'm never in a position where I can expect nothing. My past does not determine what my tomorrow is going to look like. Hallelujah. So the whole exercise was to get them to level up. Nothing is ever too late for me. So what are you thinking in your life right now that is too late? The time has passed. I'm too old for that to happen for me now. I can't do that because it's just past the time. The deadline passed, and so they said, because the deadline passed, you can't have it. What are you thinking is too late for God in your life right now? You might be grieving over a loved one that passed away. It's never too late to walk in the healing and the peace that comes from a relationship with Him. What are you saying is too late? I want you to leave it at the throne of God today. Leave it here. Don't take it with you another day, not another minute, not another millisecond. Leave it here today because it's never too late. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, we just thank you so much that you are so good, Lord. We thank you, Father, that it is never too late for you. No situation is too hard for you. There's nothing that's so far gone. There's no person that you abandon, Lord. There's nothing too hard for you, Lord God. So we ask you today, according to Samuel 22:29, that you would light our darkness today. Whatever is dark right now, whatever it is that has crept in and caused obscurity in our life where we can't see clearly, where we can't see your way of seeing, we can't think your way of thinking. We just ask you to light it up right now, Father. Illuminate it with your word. And let us see the way you see, Lord God. That thing, Father, that seems like it's too late, we leave it at the altar right now. We submit it to you, Lord God. We ask you to show us how to change our thinking about that thing, how to level up and think in line with how you're seeing it, Lord God. We yield to you right now. We ask you to come in, Father, rearrange and transform that part of our lives, Lord God, so that as we think differently, we can see differently. We can create differently. We can be differently. We can walk differently. We can possess differently, Lord God, because we see it the way you see it. So we thank you, Lord God, right now. We thank you right now. It's done in Jesus' name. It's done in Jesus' name. Come on, if you believe that right now, lift up your hands and say, I receive that. I receive that. If you're expecting something from God, if you're expecting something great, if you're no longer in a place of being down and depressed and receiving defeat, say, I receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed in prayer. If you're here today, the first step to leveling up your thinking is coming into a relationship with Christ. So whether you're watching me online or whether you're in the building today, if you do not know Christ, this is your opportunity to level up right now. This is your opportunity to bring yourself on the level where God wants you to be. And we do that by receiving Christ as the head of our life, receiving Him as our Lord and Savior, and committing our lives to Him. So if that's you today and you want to make that step, if you're in the building or if you're online, just lift up your hand and let me know that, you know what, I want to do that today. I don't want to receive Christ. Would you please pray for me so that I can receive Christ? If that's you, just lift up your hand. If you're online, I can't see you raise your hand, but God sees you. And He's counting that act right now in your heart. And He's saying, yes, I'm there for you. So would everybody just pray this with me? Say, Father, I thank you that your son Jesus died for me on the cross at Calvary. He bore my sins and He washed them away. Lord Jesus, come into my heart now. Come into my life now and save me now. I turn away from sin and I turn to you and I thank you that I'm right now born again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you prayed that out of the sincerity of your heart for the very first time, you are right now born again. You have leveled up right now. You're on his level. You're on his level now where he wants to increase you even more and more and more. And God's got some great, magnanimous things in store for your life. So I want to just encourage you to reach for those things now. Hallelujah. Come on, shout hallelujah. Come on, shout hallelujah. Are you expecting today? Are you expecting today? Hallelujah. We are expecting great things. Hallelujah. We'll see you soon.